This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. It is 7.35 in the morning, Tuesday the 15th of October. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill where Julian Ng will be speaking with Syed Abdul Rahman, Minister of Youth and Sports, who'll be joining us to discuss his hopes for the youth of Malaysia, his plans moving forward, and how he works with other ministries in the government in order to get his youth agenda across. And that's going to happen after the 8 o'clock news.
Very interesting. I'm looking forward to listening to the breakfast grill.
So am I. But in the meantime, we have lots of interesting discussions still lined up for you. And we're going to be talking about Singapore, because Singapore's economy avoided entering a technical recession in the third quarter by the skin of its teeth. Because while the city-state's de facto central bank nudged monetary policy lower for the first time since 2016.
Now, this is in a bid to offset some of the impact of the slowing global growth and, of course, the ongoing US-China trade war. Data released by Singapore's Ministry of Trade and Industry yesterday showed that the economy grew marginally by 0.6% in the July to September period quarter-on-quarter, snapping back from a revised 2.7% contraction in the preceding period. Now, an economy is generally accepted as being in a recession if it experiences two consecutive quarters of contraction. So the third quarter growth was still below the 1.5% expansion forecast by economists polled by Reuters, though. Nonetheless, on a year-on-year basis, the economy did grow by very little, 0.1%, also below forecast.
So for more on this morning, we have on the line with us Lee Ju-ye, economist at Maybank Kim Eng. Thank you very much for joining us, Ju-ye. Now, monetary policy in Singapore is not driven by interest rate direction, but rather by the band of the Singapore dollar. First of all, could you just enlighten us as to the mechanics of this?
Sure. So unlike most central banks in the region that mostly target interest rates as a monetary policy tool, the Monetary Authority of Singapore uses the nominal exchange rate instead. And this is because given that Singapore is a small and open economy where its gross exports and import of goods and services account for more than 300% of GDP, so exchange rate is a more effective tool for Singapore compared to interest rate. And how it works is that the MAS manages the Singapore dollar nominal effective exchange rate, or the SingNia. And this is a trade-weighted basket of currencies. And because SingNia has a stable relationship with inflation, which is the ultimate target for MAS, and the SingNia is allowed to float within a policy band. And MAS can manage the band in three ways. One is to adjust the slope of the band, which is the most common tool. Secondly is to adjust the width of the band. And lastly, it can also adjust the level at which the center of the band is located. While other central banks tighten monetary policy by raising policy rates, the equivalent for MAS is to steepen the slope of the SingNia to allow for faster appreciation of the NIA. And when central banks ease by cutting policy rates, the equivalent for the MAS is to reduce the stock of the SingNia.
So why did the Monetary Authority of Singapore reduce the rate of appreciation for the SingNia policy band? Are they seeing something that we aren't? Are they preempting a slowdown?
Yep, so MAS' latest decision is really because of slowing growth as well as the weakening in core inflation for Singapore. The GDP numbers for 3Q flash estimates released, and Singapore's economy hardly grew. It was very flat growth at 0.1% for the third quarter, similar to the pace that we saw in the second quarter. And this is the weakest pace of growth that we have seen since the global financial crisis 10 years ago. And Singapore also narrowly avoided a technical recession. The quarter-on-quarter growth was only at 0.6%, but thankfully it dodged a recession. And MAS has stated that economic activity for Singapore is now below potential, or is a negative output gap. And this could be a precursor of falling costs or softer inflation going forward. And in this case, MAS decided to ease to help to support aggregate demand. And also on the core inflation side, Singapore's inflation has been trending lower. For July and August, so the slowest pace in 3 years at just 0.8%. So I think it's a combination of both very sluggish growth as well as slowing core inflation, which caused MAS to ease the SingNia.
Now, the inflation number has also been adjusted. So what do you make of this?
In this monetary policy statement, MAS did narrow its inflation forecast. Now they expect headline CPI to come in at around 0.5%. Previously, they the range that it gave was 0.5 to 1.5%. So it's the lower end of the range. And core CPI, they are now expecting it to come in at the lower end of the 1 to 2% range that they had. If we look at inflation trends for Singapore this year, both headline and core have been slowing, mainly because of the decline in electricity and gas tariffs. And this is because Singapore started liberalizing the electricity market last November. And the open electricity market was fully rolled out nationwide as of May 2019. And switch rates for households to alternative suppliers have been higher than expected. And households that switch, anecdotal evidence is that they enjoy a 20 to 30% cheaper utilities cost compared to the previous supplier. So MAS outlook for inflation also appears subdued for 2020. They expect imported inflation to be benign given weakening global demand, as well as softer domestic market labor conditions that will likely keep core inflation low. And in this monetary policy statement, MAS, they mentioned that they are expecting headline and core CPI to both average 0.5 to 1.5%.
Finally, Juye, if we look ahead, what is your expectation for GDP in the fourth quarter?
So our view is that Singapore's GDP growth likely bottom in 2Q and 3Q. And we actually expect a weak recovery in the fourth quarter. We are looking at around 0.5% to 1% growth, given lower base effects from the fourth quarter last year. And also, hopefully, a potential improvement in trade relations between the US and China. After all, last Friday, they did manage to come to a lightweight deal, although not it was a breakthrough. We think that Singapore's manufacturing will likely continue to decline in the fourth quarter, but not as severe as the pace that it saw in 2Q and 3Q. We are more positive on the services sector because we think it may be supported by some sectors such as finance, business services, as well as tourism-related sectors. Why we are saying this is for finance, we are seeing some strong pickup in offshore loans, which we think is supporting the story of how ASEAN is seeing an investment diversion because of the US-China trade war. Business services because property transactions have been improving, and tourism-related sectors because Singapore is seeing some diversion of leisure and business travelers from Hong Kong. Construction sector is also, our outlook is quite positive because of the pickup in contracts awarded. However, having said that, we do caution that downside risks are still plentiful for the fourth quarter. I mean, there's US imposing tariffs on EU exports, and there's still the pending final decision on whether US will impose auto tariffs, Brexit uncertainties, as well as the ongoing Japan-South Korea trade tensions. And the downside risk for domestically is the weakening labor market, as well as the upcoming tighter foreign worker measures. They are going to tighten hiring of foreign workers in the services sector starting January next year. And this may weigh on Singapore's growth outlook as well.
Thank you so much, Juye. And that was Lee Juye, economist at Maybank Kim Eng. And I guess Singapore is not the only market in the Asian region that is really facing a lot of headwinds as a result of these trade tensions, because Singapore is a very open economy. But Hong Kong and South Korea are also both facing recessions, similar situations, right?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you're talking about three economies which are particularly vulnerable to any slowdown in global trade. They are very export-oriented. If you look specifically at Korea, it's all about electronics mm-hmm. and electrical exports, right?
And Singapore is also very dependent on high-tech exports at the same time.
Exactly. They're in a way not in such a sweet spot as Malaysia. Sometimes we think our economy is not doing well, and it isn't maybe the best, but we have a few things going for us. We still have natural resources. We have a relatively large population, middle class. So we tend to, unfortunately, well, fortunately, chug along at quite a decent pace. But for economies like Singapore, even Taiwan, any global slowdown, any trade tensions, you immediately see that very quickly in their manufacturing numbers. Orders decelerate very fast. Clients hold back orders. So for them, definitely, there will be, I think, a lot of headwinds coming in 4Q and even in 1Q 2020. Because we know this US trade tensions, if you ask me, especially when Donald Trump goes into presidential elections in 2020, the rhetoric will increase. It will not decrease.
But not all doom and gloom over there in Singapore, though, because as Juye said, she's a little bit more positive on some of the services sectors, finance, for example, as well as the banks, because of the investment diversion that they're seeing, happening in Singapore, as well as in the tourism sectors, diversion of tourists as well as businesses from Hong Kong as a result of the protests. Right now, though, we are heading into a few messages, and after that, we're going to be coming back with more discussion for you on Budget 2020, so keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.